Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
Good morning, everybody.
Yes.
Father, we thank you this morning. You have gathered us again to hear your word. Lord, our hearts are open, and we know your spirit has been poured forth to give us wisdom and understanding. Therefore, we declare as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I am being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. And now, just to repeat the order of things today, because of the environmental restriction, that is the issue in our environment here, our Business by the Spirit seminar continues this morning, but instead of the advertised 9 o'clock, which is when our guest teacher is supposed to start teaching, we have to move it till past 10, because that's when people can start moving around. I'm just telling those who are off online so they understand what is going on. So we are going to continue. Good enough, I'm supposed to teach one of the sessions, so I'll take mine now. So those who are in Enugu are coming late, sorry. They can catch it later on the recorded format. And if they are very serious people, they'll be following us online. You get what I'm saying? So let's just take that. I'm taking my session now. So as soon as the time is over, we'll take a very short break. Then I'll take a few announcements, and then Pastor Annie will start to teach. Now, so I'm going to teach along those lines today. And there's something you see in the scriptures, all right? You see the spirit of the Lord divided into... Have you heard the expression before? The seven spirits of God. Uh-huh. The Holy Spirit is not seven, all right? It's just seven different things he does, you understand? Uh-huh. So that's what they mean, different aspects of what God does in our lives. That's when we use the expression. So what I want to do this morning, okay, is to use that principle to explain seven spirits of God needed for fruitfulness and prosperity. Yeah, I can caption it something like that. The seven spirits of God working in the life of a believer that is necessary for the manifestation of the prosperity of God, the blessing of God in their lives. So let's take our text of scripture from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's quickly just read something from there. Now, please, there's a principle here. Let's explain it again, which is why we are doing this. Business by the Spirit. God gave Israel, you see it, all right? See, when they were entering into the promised land, he will tell you, I have given you the land. He'll give you the dimensions of the land. Maybe like the land of the Amorites, tell you I've given Og of Bashan, all right? Og of Bashan into your hand. Now what you now do is, concerning his land, is now go in and do what? Take it or possess it. You will contend with him in battle, and then you collect the land. So the fact that God has given something, please let me say it again, doesn't mean you will see it automatically in your life. God may have given you something, but it doesn't show up automatically. You have to contend for what God has given. That's a mistake a lot of people make. They don't understand that contending is only for what God has given. All right? Like I was telling my guys yesterday and today, I said, God has given us this thing. Like, hey, I said, Jonathan, please find me the place that God has provided. And it sounds funny if you don't understand what I'm saying. But that scripture, you hear that the Bible says concerning the lion, that it will get up to go and look for the food that God has provided. The food, the deer will not come into the den of the lion and say, who's the lion here? I've come, your dinner. Do you understand my point? No, the lion will get up, go out, and chase, and hunt, and catch, and tear. Okay? But doesn't change the fact that who provided? God is one that provided. You're getting the principle. Okay? What God has provided you many times, no, you have to go and take it. You have to go and take it. That's why you hear things like, he that watches the wind will not sow. Now, the second part is what is interesting. And he that observes the clouds will not reap. That is, we have sown the seeds now. The process of time, you know, morning, evening, sun comes up, you know, absorbs a lot of water in the night and all. Stomata will open, carbon dioxide will go in, photosynthesis will take place, the grain will mature. It takes, depending on what we are talking about, it takes many weeks, sometimes almost a year. Then when it's harvest time, you still have work to do. He said, he that observes the wind will not sow. He that pays attention to the clouds will also not reap. The thing is there, but it has to go out. That tells me, there I read that, all right, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, all right, that should be verse 4. He says, I realized that he said there's work to do in the time of seed. There's work to do in the time of harvest. So even though God has blessed you, you have to go and harvest the blessing. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why Pastor Anne was saying yesterday, and in fact, I made reference to it before he came. He heard that part of it, and he was laughing about it when he was talking. I said, you walk on the road, you will never go, with God, all things are possible. All right? But in the midst of his possibility, I have never seen him rain currency from the sky. You are walking on the road, then suddenly, bam, one bag falls. And then just said, take it, that's yours. Even that one, you still have to bend to collect it. But that one has never even happened. Do you understand my point? That's why you hear that there's much. How does Proverbs say it again? That there's much, is a wealth in the tillage of the lazy man. That is, if only if he will get up, go into the field. There's plenty abundance that God has given him there. Do you understand my point? That's what we are doing this weekend. For believers to understand that there's work to do to be blessed. There's something Pastor Andy said yesterday. He said, when you say, you hear sometimes, when you hear, hey, take it. Before today, he said, usually it's the pastor that's collecting all the blessing. Because, yeah, you know, he's a pastor. So he's not against pastors. But he just telling us the truth. If you think that you will sow a seed and sow it, if a woman told me once, said to be, they were telling you sow. Meanwhile, what they are doing is reaping. So your own seed is somebody else reap. Somebody else harvest. Do you get my point? As you are sowing, somebody else reaping. Now, meanwhile, these people that, the person who said it yesterday is a pastor. So it was saying that no matter how much you are blessed, forget that thing. You are not going to just need to sow a seed in the morning, get home in the evening. And like I said yesterday, even when favor wants to show up, that's, God gives you grace. Grace will teach you what to do. You know, somebody will just knock on your door, say, the way I'm seeing you, there's grace in your life. Now, take, that's $100 million now. Now, does God do things like that? Listen carefully. Because God can do anything. We are not saying he can't do it. He can make the sun rise from the west. Is it not God? Can he make the sun rise from the west? Does he do that? The day you see the sun rising from the west, just know that Jesus came back yesterday, you were not aware. Do you follow my point? So what we are saying is that he's not, God can do anything. It's just that I remember a friend of mine, alright, was senior to me a bit in the faith and all of that. And he used to teach faith before people like us, before they gave us microphone to just announce, hey, brothers, wait at the back. Before they gave us mic to do that, he was teaching. Then once he was making some decisions. And I said, this place you are situating this facility, it doesn't have an access road. He said, God can bring people. You don't get my point? You open a business, all right? Customers are supposed to come. To get there, they have to climb over refuse, climb over this, mud and all of that. He said, God can. I kept quiet. You know, there's something about using the word God. We can't use divine wisdom to talk to you again. By the time his rent expired, if he saw 5 clients, I'll be surprised. They're not up to that. Is it 2 years rent or 1 year? I don't know. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm not saying God can't. Stop using God can. Does he normally do this? Does he punish the people he wants to use to bless you? Must he say because he wants to bless you, they must go through trouble?
Okay, forget what God can do. Are you being a blessing to people, situating yourself here? If it's this, that's the kind of wisdom counsel I'll give you. Say, thank God, God can do anything. But does God want to punish other people because he wants to bless you? What I described to you is something like what people have to go through to get to. And it was our faith. He has used faith to call them to come. They want to come. But you have used foolishness to block the road. Are you getting my point? Faith does not allow us some kinds of recklessness that people practice. Because you are walking by faith does not mean you automatically must look foolish to everybody. You can look foolish to people of the world. By the time you are looking foolish to people of faith, bro, likely you are foolish. That's the point we are making. All right? There's a story I tell once in a while. One day I was teaching in Kingdom Word. One man of questionable character, morally speaking, because it was one of our sisters he chased to come. She was coming for Bible study. And this old man, not old as in 70 years, but at least he was old enough to have a son that was a graduate. So definitely was in the late 40s, early 50s. Gauging by what he looked like that time, I'll put him at his late 40s those days. And why I called him old man is relative to the young lady that he followed to Bible study. He was chasing the young woman. I did go to church. Hey, let's go. Hey, she said, okay, come, let's go now. So shaky. At the end, he helped me preach on prosperity. That day I spoke on, you can go and get a series. I know what I was teaching there, the sayings of God. I got to a point in which I was saying that God wants us to prosper. And of course, sometimes people want, anyway, let me not talk about that. But he asked to talk to me afterwards. And I told you, that's the first time I heard somebody use the word one-on-one with me, a disconnect. I didn't forget. I seen a disconnect. I didn't get, that time, the only disconnection I knew had to do with electric wires, Your car is not running. And then you call today. Why is this car? I said, there's a disconnect. Do you follow my point? Between one fuse and one relay. That's what I was used to. But I tried to get the point he was trying to make, which was, at the end of the day, he inferred that his son I was talking about, apparently that one goes to church. Apparently that one learned faith. And apparently that one was not working because he had faith. And they have seen things like that happening around. So when I talked on the fact that God wants us to prosper, he felt what I was saying, that God wants us to sit down, do nothing, and money will fall from heaven, and will become very rich, waking up only in the morning, declaring the word. I looked at him. Then I didn't realize the kind of person. I thought it was a serious person. So I answered him out of respect. I just told him, I said, is it your first time here? He said, yes. I said, so obviously you don't know me. Those were those days long ago. Oh, I was much younger than this. My life was slightly different in the way I did things. I told him where I worked. Then my specialties was quite rare around, so I had to teach in two other universities. Not because I wanted to. In fact, one of them, the old man there, he used old man sense to drag me to be going all the way from Enugu to Nnewi to go and teach. And they were paying me pittance, literal. That is, could you buy my food? That the money we pay. Because that ended years ago now. All right? But I told the man what I was doing. He thought I was a pastor that gathered people to milk them. At that point, my wife walked in while we were speaking, came to pick something. I said, you saw that woman that came just now? I said, that's my wife. I told him her qualifications and what she does. I said, listen, those who listen to me, they know me. I don't teach anybody to be lazy. And for goodness sake, the only reason why you get up and go and walk is because you know that God is waiting for you there. Just like the lion, God has provided, you go out to go and catch the food that he provided. Look at the man that day, say. Well, later on I found out how you arrived in Kingdom Word. You can't have sense if you come to church to chase women. You won't understand what I'm saying. But why I refer to that once in a while, I said, that's the mistake people make. Very possible his son was misbehaving, claiming to have faith, but was lazy. Listen, I'll say it again. People of faith are not lazy people. Faith makes you get up. Faith makes you have a purpose. Faith makes you pursue a purpose. Faith makes you, listen to this, hardworking. Faith makes you responsible. Faith makes you accountable. Faith doesn't give you money first. Before faith gives you money, it tells you how to spend. Did you hear what I said? Before faith gives you money, what does it do? It tells you how to spend. If somebody is spendthrift, can't account for money, it's not faith that gave him money. That money will soon lose everything anyway. So please, don't be attacking people of faith when you find irresponsible people. See, church is an open place. Do you follow my point? Did anybody check your ID and qualification before you entered this meeting? You go to your church on Sunday, they don't check who's coming. It's only when they want to appoint you to leadership that will start checking things. Even if we know you as a terrorist, as long as you don't come bring bomb when you are coming, we'll let you enter church. Are you aware of that? If you know good prisons, come have an arrangement with us that can we bring all our inmates, give us a hall. We will say no. So do you need a special section? If they say no, we don't need a special section, we just want them to feel free. Do you know I can't say no? Even though this is a kidnapper that has been sentenced to 25 years imprisonment, he will sit down there with his scar on his face and be looking at me, and I will preach. So it's not everybody that goes to church. That's the point I'm making. That you now ascribe all his behaviors to the things he heard in church. And that's what I'm teaching this year. My focus is, please, those of us who claim to be Christians, let's reflect Christ properly. Too many people are misrepresenting him. You are getting what I'm saying? Yes, we have a duty. We have a duty. Like I was saying, was it not on Tuesday here I was preaching? That there are things I hear that even preachers do. Eh? I made it a personal, see, I made it a personal duty to make sure that when they want to describe preachers, they will use me. God helping me do things honestly, sincerely, not manipulating anybody, saying things because I know they are true. A friend of mine called me one day. He just told me a conversation he had at work. He lives in the United States. Told me a conversation he had at work. What preachers do. All the preachers, all they are after is your money. He stood there. He called me and told me. This was what happened. He said, I told him that not every preacher. That at least I know two who don't do this for this reason you guys are saying. He mentioned my name. He mentioned Pastor Corey's name. He said, these two, I can beat my chest. He knows me very well. He's a very good friend of mine. So we Christians, see, let's go and reflect properly what Christians are. Christians are not, faith does not make us lazy, but it takes away worry from us. We are not doing what we are doing because we are worried. See, you can see two people doing the same thing. But what they are doing really is inside them. Solomon said it like this, as a man thinks in his heart. So it is what he's doing that really shows, it's actually his motivation, his thoughts that show what really he's like. He said, it's not what he's doing out, he's saying outside. He said, no, don't worry. No, say no. He's a stingy man. As a man thinks in his heart, not what he shows you outside. So he really is. So you can see two people, they're in prison, unjustly, both of them. One is working very hard, hoping to get released. The other, his name is Joseph. That's just the way he is. You find him in Potiphar's house, that's the way he is. He enters into prison, that's the way he is. Why are you doing what you are doing? Is there any other thing to do? That's the only thing I am. I am what I am like that. Two people can be working very hard in an office. One is trying to curry the favor of the boss. The other one is just a diligent person.
One day somebody saw me. I was proofreading some books, you know. Those are small, those tiny books we used to do. If you remember those books, like What is God's Will Here? We've not printed them in a very long time. They're very tiny. This pocket, in fact, to say pocket is making it look too big. It fits into your pocket. Four of it can enter your pocket easily. Those tiny books. They're just about, in volume, just about twice the size of a tract. So we used to do it that time. So I was proofreading them, preparing for the printer. All right? So one guy saw me. He saw me going through, so I was preparing a book. He said, ah, oh, you see, now I know where your money is coming from. I look like, I didn't argue with him. You know, it's not everything, not every conversation you get into. Now where my money is coming from. I was the one paying for, that book was being subsidized by me. If you know the way I've always done with books and print, in fact, one day, Uju said that pastor has spoiled us. Because when she went somewhere else and saw the cost of the materials we give people, what we sell here, like 10 times, for the same thing, she first shouted like, what? I said, oh, pastor spoiled us. Where I'm going is that the man saw what I was doing, and the only motivation that he understood in his heart for anybody to be going through all of this is what he's going to get. Do you follow my point? That is, you see, it's what's inside the heart that really matters. Okay? Now, we believers, we don't walk out of worry. We don't chase money. It's forbidden. Like Pastor Anne was saying yesterday, we create value. We create wealth. Those who chase money, for what, anyhow, let it just come. They lie to you, say this is business. Now, maybe you don't understand. When they say this is business, it's a bad habit they left that dropped down from the mafia. So please, before you start using that terminology, know where it began from. At least, do you understand it? It's mafia people that I know used to say that thing. If you've seen their movies, I've seen quite a few. If you ever saw this, I don't like mentioning the name of movie, like I said, so I won't be recommended. But there's one very popular, well-known mafia movie. They killed, and they attempted to kill this big mafia boss. Do you understand? And the family, his sons there, they were discussing how to respond. The man, good enough, he didn't die. He was in hospital, so the family was now saying, okay, what do we do? What do we do? So one of the boys said, look, we have to go back, attack, you know, kill this. No. The main advisor in the family, he said, you don't get the point. They just shot this boy's father 4 times, attempted to kill him. He just, in quote, miraculously survived. And their main advisor was telling him, say, look, don't take this thing personal. He said, it's just business. Yeah. Now, he's on their side, though. Yet he was saying that don't take the attempt on your father's life personal. Look, let's be rational here. Let's focus on business, not vengeance. They will shoot people and say it's business. There was one, forget, this is on a movie. I read it real life. That is like, it's a news report, an article on one guy who used to kill people in the United States. Very nice, calm guy like this. But there was a drug dealer and stuff underneath. But on the surface, a nice neighborhood guy. And people start disappearing. You see one guy today, you don't see him again. It was a long FBI investigation. They finally found that he was the one killing some of these guys. And when they finally caught him, he was caught, of course, interviewing him. He said, no, it's just business. That is, it's just business. He's been killing people. And what is it? Just business. That's what I'm saying. Don't learn that thing. Don't learn it. There's nothing like it's just business. Business for us is how we impact lives. Business for us is how we express our gifts. Like Pastor Nani was saying yesterday about hand and feet. That sometimes you produce things, other times you help bring it from where it was produced to where the people who need the services are, the goods are. That's for us business. If we cheat people, it's not business. It's wickedness. It's not business. What is it? Wickedness. And listen, amongst Christians, God judges wickedness. See, I don't have to explain it more than that. As a believer, if you deliberately do that which is wicked, God will judge you. He will. You know what I mean? You know something is not good. Maybe I was in the shop yesterday buying fruits as an example. I was just about to pay. Good enough, as the girl was counting, was machining the stuff, I saw it was bad. Now, it's not her fault. I was the one that picked it off the shelf. Just as an example. Now, it's expensive fruits. So, some people know what they will do. They will return it to the pack, put good ones on top, put good ones below, and seal it and deliver it to you. If you do like that as a Christian, don't worry. See, it's an apple, okay? One apple you sold because you don't want to lose. I don't know how many they say it now because they packed everything for me. Maybe you don't want to lose 1,000 naira. I don't know how to, maybe 500, I don't know. Because I know wahala. That thing, the minimum I will take from you, assuming it's 1,000, the minimum I will take from you, all right, is 4,000. Minimum. Fourfold. Next consignment you have, your own truck will reverse over it. And I'll let you know, is that apple you sold to that man? Because you don't want to lose it. You either throw it away, or make sure whoever wants to buy this part, and then you say, okay, we're selling that one for half price, so you know you can cut away that part that's bad. If you deliberately use all kinds... See, there are those who sell drugs that have expired. They go and repack it. If you're a believer, see, just know that sickness is... So the death of Jesus on the cross does not cover that. I hope you know the death of Jesus doesn't cover everything. People don't know that. He said, if we deliberately continue doing what, after we have come to knowledge of the truth, he said, there remains no sacrifice for such sins. God always punishes wickedness. As believers, please, let me just tell you, don't be wicked. If you have money, you are supposed to pay something for something you bought and you are owing. And you start telling stories. God calls it wickedness. One of our brothers, that guy wearing white, let me not mention his name. That guy has refused to pay you that money. Has he paid you? Yesterday. Okay, use that method. I had to teach him one method. I thank God it worked. But if that guy was a Christian, I can just see problems in his life. See, please, you know when I preach sometimes, he's like, why are you hard? The man who's telling you the truth is not the hard one. Actually, there's judgment against the preacher who says to the wicked, the Bible says, that it will be well with him. Ha! See, make sure you are not wicked. Sometimes I go out, I see people do... I say, do you realize this is wickedness? You're selling something, you know it is bad. But you don't want to take the loss. So you repackage it, you disguise it, and sell it to somebody. Let me tell you the God we are dealing with. One of the names he loves is Judge. In fact, God being love... Now, please, this is fact. I don't need to try to persuade you. Just take it. It's simple. God being love is inferior to God being righteous. The foundation of his throne is not love. It's not love. Righteousness is more important to him than love. See, God would rather kill his own children than to do injustice. You're my son. I love you from the bottom of my heart. But sorry, you have to die. Because if you don't, I'll be unjust. Yeah. Please, don't do injustice. Don't do wickedly. God punishes wickedness.
I'm talking about amongst believers, so please, I don't have time for unbelievers. I don't have time for those who are going to hellfire. I don't have time. I'm talking about believers. You can't afford to be wicked. He said it clearly. Do unto others as you wish them to do to you. They will not see it, doesn't matter. But if somebody were to do this to you, would you like it? The answer is no, because they don't do it. If he deliberately do it, it's wickedness, and he has to judge it. Please, are we getting my point here? I need to emphasize that to believers. See, faith teaches us how to behave. It does. It guides us right. Faith doesn't just give us things. I wish people would understand it. The first thing you do with faith is to align your life in righteousness. It's not to get. I said we should open somewhere, right? Are we ready? No. So when God, now let me just get back to what I was saying. When God gives something, what do? You go and take it. God will tell you, I have given you this land. These are the boundaries. Now begin to contend in battle. Begin to possess the land. Because God has given, is why we go out to take. That's why I'm trying to emphasize all of these things. If he has not given, no matter how much you work hard, all right? He said you, how did he say it? You look for much, it comes to little. When you bring that one home, you put into pocket with holes, yes. If God has not given, remember our brother who gave a testimony, he said he was running for election, and the Lord revealed to him in a dream of the, you know, or a vision of the night, that do whatever you want, you won't win that election. His friends helped him disobey that revelation. And he collected all the votes. And shortly after he won the election, it was annulled. You know the famous June 12 in Nigeria. You know that story? Remember June 12, 1993, right? You know, before that election, Pastor Tunde Bakare, that time that he used to do that thing he was doing, he said it openly to everybody in church. He was broadcasting it. I mean, they were airing it. He said, tell my brother, he will never be president in Nigeria. I was telling our man, MKO. He said, he will never be president. He said, he's about to embark on the journey from which he will never return. That man was a prophet too. He said, he's about to embark on the journey from which he will never return. And you know what happened? He said, I didn't know elders in that house anymore to call this man back to order. That this journey he's about to start, he'll never return from it. He said it openly. That's why Nigeria feared him that time. Anything he said, when he wants to broadcast, everybody goes to it. Because they know the history. He said NRC will lose. There were two parties, SDP and NRC. MKO contested on the platform of SDP. He said NRC will lose, but SDP will not win. Now, I'm telling you, these things were determined before election happened. He said NRC will lose, but SDP will not win. He said he had a vision. He saw two people, civilians, struggling for something. And one man in uniform came and snatched it away from them. You know what happened? He said this thing before it happened. And by the time he was done, by the time we finished it, we saw it happen. Where I'm going is that, because God had not given, MK worked hard. There are other things I don't want to tell you now, but some people, all right, I heard the gist later. Before then, they were Christians. They gathered, joined their hands, and said to the God, no, this man wants to rule Nigeria. We say no.
I won't tell you the kind of words they used in prayer. One of our brothers, he was here a few weeks ago. One of those guys we used to be together, those early days of Kingdom Word. So he was visiting town for the NBA conference. He says, I was in that meeting. Before the election, the brethren gathered, said, this man, forget it. We don't want him as our president. He would not be. Bro, we have never, till today, Nigeria has not held any election like that. There was no election like that beforehand. There was no election. There has not been any election like that. When you talk about being free, being fair, of course, it's not 100%. That was the best election we've ever had till today. Yet, see, when IBB annulled it, it was not his decision. The one he was telling us is not him. It was not human. God in heaven ruled. No. Everything that played out was as God in heaven determined. People think that we Christians, we have been fatalistic, as if nothing is in our hands. See, where the things exist in your hand, that's the point I make it. It's not that point. The time you are going for election is not the point. It's before, years before, God will have given you the opportunity to make certain corrections and certain decisions in your life. Our brother said that God told him, forget this thing you are doing. Don't take you anywhere. He did everything. Again, he won the last minute. They scattered the whole thing. People were protesting. They didn't bother with the protest because the Lord had warned him that, see, I have not given you. If God has not given you, as an example, money, sell all the parts of your body, cut yourself in pieces, trade your inheritance, do everything. You will see the money. You will bring it home, put it on the table. Say, let me have a bath. By the time you come back, nobody broke into your house. Nothing, it will disappear. You will watch it turn to powder. If God has not given, you labor in vain. That's why David there, Solomon said, except the Lord builds a house, the laborers labor in vain. Emma, Solomon. It's Solomon. He doesn't know. David didn't write all the Psalms. He wrote only about half of them. Solomon contributed like 2 or 3 Psalms. I'm not very sure now. But that's one of the Psalms he wrote. It's by Solomon, Psalm 127. Except the Lord builds a house, the labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. There's a particular city, now I've forgotten now, but I can remember if I take time, but let me not waste time. Every time it was taken, well-guarded city of those, ancient city of those days. You know how they used to take the city? What used to lead to it? Okay, in one particular instance, a soldier looked over the wall, all right, and his helmet fell. So he came down from his watchtower, opened the gate to take the helmet. You know, the enemy soldiers were with him. So they caught him. That's it. The gate was open. Well-guarded city. The walls were thick, impenetrable, impregnable. Yes, one man dropped his cap. Is it the Chinese wall that they said that after building, they said they didn't use to bother to break the wall. They bribed the soldiers. Those ones opened the gate. Except the Lord guards the city. Now, what am I saying? Except the Lord prosper you, you labor in vain. All this we have been discussing, you work hard, work hard, work hard. As soon as you break, in fact, they have a spirit in Western Nigeria, they talk about it. There's a waster. The spirit is called a waster. If you don't have money, it doesn't talk to you. If you are broke, it doesn't worry you. It checks how much in bank balance. How much did bank account? Look at it. 5K. This guy not get money now. That 5K, it won't go down now. You spend it, you get another 5K. It's okay. But bam, let it hit 100 million. The spirit will come, bam. How far? And you know what will happen? Suddenly start giving you problems. As you are coming home, you go and jam a Rolls Royce. As you're coming home, you just say, you just arrive home, say, your wife, you see your wife shouting, what happened? Your son just fell down. They say, go to hospital, do MRI, do this one, this one. By the time you finish with that, and you can't do anything, you have to pay. It's your son. As you are returning home, they'll call you from the village, fire, fire. Your father's house in the village, the roof just burnt. This is how you'll be solving problems. You'll be solving problems. So then when the money is back to 5K, the spirit will leave you again. Then your problems will disappear. Then that famous Nigerian I was telling you about. If you remember, he was very well to do. Very well to do. Very, very. Now, this was confirmed to me. When I heard it, I said, no, somebody wouldn't say this. Oh, this is one of my friends one day. I said, I heard it say, but he said, no. It's not you heard it say it. It's not that it's not true. He said, I heard it with my, it was on radio. I listened to the program. He gave me the exact words he used. That's when I finally accepted. I used to hear it here and there that this man said this. I said, no, why would anybody say that? This was what he said. Being a philanthropist, of course, he was on a radio show. They were, somebody was interviewing him. So in the course of the gist, somebody, I don't know whether it's an interview or somebody else, now prayed for him. That, this thing I told you, that this waster spirit, that may that waster spirit not enter into your wealth. He answered that prayer is not necessary. That if the spirit comes in to waste his money, he said it will choke on money. Do you hear what I said? He said that wasting spirit, let it come. He said it will eat, it will get tired, and it will go away. When I heard it, by that time, I was still very young, but I was already learning some things. I said, Kai, they didn't instruct this man. They don't say things like that. No, you don't. You don't. Especially openly. Because there are things you say openly. All right? God has to answer. The person said, the Shah of Iran called himself King of Kings. And he told, he said, no, you shouldn't have said that. That Jesus will have to answer. A few months down the line, Islamic revolution happened and the man was dethroned. There are statements you should not make. When I heard the man say that, I said, no, you shouldn't have said that. I said, you don't know God. If he doesn't take the money away from you, he'll take you away from the money. Exactly what happened. In fact, it was so bad that there was one very prominent politician. His first name is Godwin. No need to mention his full name. He said he went and begged General Abacha to release him. Let the man go home. And the only reason Abacha gave that man why he wouldn't do that is that the man had too much money. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm explaining, except the Lord builds a house. Do you get it? Except the Lord builds a house. The laborer is laboring in vain. No matter what we teach, it's what we are teaching this weekend is for people that are already blessed. We are just explaining. Do you get it? That if God has blessed you, you can't sit at home and say the blessings just come and show up. The blessing starts teaching you what you are supposed to do. Where you are supposed to make your, put in your effort. The method by which you will harvest that spiritual field. That's what we're saying. That people pack up spiritual blessing is there. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly, but it's in heavenly places. So God says, okay, what is the ladder by which this spiritual blessing in heavenly places will come down? And that's what we are teaching. I don't believe these are principles that, they are sound principles, quite all right. But you carry it to an unbeliever, or you carry it to somebody who is not blessed. Listen to this. You carry it to somebody who is cursed. Curses exist too. I hope you know. Curses, please read the new edition. If you haven't read it, of course, which means you are not my friend. No Grace to Prosper. We released the first edition like 15 years ago, thereabout. The new edition came out 2 Decembers ago. Yes, about a year and 2 months now. All right. So please download it, put it on your device and read. It's very different. All right. Many of the chapters are new. Even the old chapters are rearranged. Okay. But I put in a few new chapters. And one of the chapters I put in this new one is a chapter on curses. Curses exist. Somebody in authority who has a right, who has a power, or God himself can say to somebody, you will never be rich in this life. Work as hard as you want. You know, God said to the household of Eli, poverty is your people's portion, and you won't live long. That's the summary of it. He said, for the dishonor they show to his name, he said, if you ever see anybody that's old in that house, he just old so he can have problems so that people can point to him that this is an old man cursed by God. No, curses exist too. Please, nobody should make it look like because they're not like us just because you are lazy. No. When we say lazy, causing problems, we are talking to lazy to bless people. If God has blessed you and he gave you, as an example, plenty of land, Solomon said there's much wealth in that field. Go and till it. I remember the book, Signposts on the Road to Success. I recommend it again. Any book I recommend, please write it down. Go and read. Signposts on the Road to Success, A.W. Kenyon. Please get the book, read it. Grace to Prosper, second edition, which I wrote. Please read it. It's available on our website, pastor.ng. Download the book and read. Please. Now, A.W. Kenyon in his book, he told the story of some people. Now, I don't know whether it really happened or just one of those tales. That's in North America, in America. I think their father died or something. They're lazy boys. And they felt that their father buried money in his field. That's a very large field. But they wouldn't farm it. So they kept decided looking for the money. You understand? Plenty hectares of land, they were looking for the money. So they dug and dug and dug and dug. You know what they found? No money. They now turned around and said, well, there's no money, but we've dug the field. So in that process of looking for money, they had tilled the land. They eventually had plowed the whole place, looking for the money that was buried. They said, why don't we just plant our corn? So because the land had been prepared, while they were looking for money, they planted corn or something or wheat. Harvest time, they found the money they were looking for. What is the money? The corn. Do you get it? By the time they harvested, see, this is the money we're looking for. Our father didn't bury literal money. He used to farm his field. In looking for that money, we tilled the land. When we saw we had used the effort, we decided to plant. Harvest time, we harvested so much, we realized that the money is in the tillage. The money is in farming the field. That's what we are saying. Do you know, there are those who farm hard, who do everything. God says, no harvest. The Lord will just pronounce upon it. You plant 2 bushels. Harvest time, you get 2 bushels. You know what that means? No loss. You wasted all your energy. You back to where you started. Sometimes you get 1. And it's one of the curses God used to tell Israel he will place upon them if they disobeyed him. Curses exist. But please, let me explain this again. Please go and read the book. In the book, I explained that even though you were cursed ancestrally, once you're a believer, it's broken. The breakage is automatic. You get my point? Yes. See, just go for baptism. Just give yourself a sign. Once they dip you in water, all right? If I were you, just for these purposes of, put some dirt on your body that can easily flow off. Deliberately rub sand on your body. So that when you dip in the water, the sand will wash off. Take it as a curse. When you come out, the sand stays back in the water. That's actually what happens when you give your life to Christ. Now, this is where I'm going. There is no reason. Now, ancestral curses do not exist as a reason for a Christian not to prosper. No, that reason does not exist. If a Christian is not prospering, it's something he's refusing to do now. Now, please let me say it again. I know curses exist. I'm saying for Christians, I was emphatic about ancestral, inherited curses. Because sometimes people use their hands to cause trouble. Like I keep on saying, maybe you're a part dealer. You sell parts, car parts in the market. You go to one of these countries, let me not mention the name. You say, please, help me make this thing. They say it's supposed to be made of solid steel. Say, don't worry, use brass, paint it. And write made in Germany. They enter market, start selling it. Of course, people are buying it. They are putting their vehicles. The vehicles are spoiling. One guy had an accident, got critically injured because of fake parts you sell. You are cursed already. You see, you don't understand. All the money you made from it, you will build a three-story building that if God is to have mercy on you, it will collapse on Sunday, the time you go to church. But collapsing, it shall collapse. If it doesn't collapse, then your curse is worse than I thought. Because when God brings problems to you, while you are alive and you can repent, you are blessed. Yeah. When somebody, a prophet, and that's the job of prophecy. I've said it again and again. The job of prophet is not to identify who's worrying you. It's to identify how you are worrying yourself. I don't know whether you hear what I said. What did I say? Say it properly. These people are not saying what I said. Please, you help me. Thank you. I like the way he said it. It's for him. It's not for him to identify who's worrying you, but how you are worrying yourself. Go and check Israel. All right? There was never any prophet that blamed Babylon for their trouble. No prophet blamed Assyria. In fact, the prophets used to say, Isaiah, he will tell you that, don't worry. When Assyria is done with beating you people well, I will now punish Assyria for his own sins. But I am bringing that violent nation against you. Why? Because of your own sin. I like to always drop this. He is a false prophet who identifies somebody spiritual as a cause of your problem. See, I don't quite care who he is. Please go and listen to our series, that Pastor Banky in 10 series, all right? The Era of the Prophets. I went through this line by line. There are two kinds of false prophets. There are prophets that are just in it for money. Okay? You know, there are all kinds, you understand? They are not, they are false. But there are prophets who are called, who dress the way I do. They speak English the way I do. And, okay, I forgot to mention, they are genuine Christians. They believe the scriptures. They believe in Christ Jesus. But they get up and start saying things that are against the scriptures. Brethren, that prophecy is false. Even though I don't want to call the person a false person, but when it gets to the area of that prophecy, he's a false prophet. He's giving you a prophet that's not true, prophecy that's not true. I've heard good Christian preachers preach and tell you that, they have exchanged your destiny. I said, my friend, go and sit down. You're talking to a Christian. Who exchanged the destiny? They cannot exchange that destiny. You can exchange your... I mean, who exchanged Esau's birthright? Please answer me again. Who exchanged Esau's birthright? Will it have been right for somebody to tell Esau, you are supposed to be the first, but they have exchanged your destiny? Answer me. Will it be right? No. You could not tell Esau, they. Who is they? Who is they? You were the one that sold your birthright. Yes, they have manipulated your brain in the spirit. I agree with you. Like I say all the time, people say witches. I say witches can only manipulate your brain. For example, Satan manipulated the brain of Adam and Eve. That's what Satan does. Satan took Eve and Adam, manipulated them. Did he not? Do you still blame him? Is you? That is his job. Let me explain. Everybody has an assignment. And as long as Satan exists and is roaming free on the earth, which the Bible tells us he has to until a time, then he will be taken away for 1,000 years, then released again. Okay, as long as he's roaming free, he has one job. And let me tell you, as a Christian, that is what you do every day, resisting this guy. And he's not resisting, fighting over your money. That's not what I mean. Sometimes we let him have the money. It's a sign of victory over him. So I'm not talking about that. Resisting, how do you resist him? He tells you, do wrong. It gives you excuses to disobey God. Alright? That's it. So you see, the more you have resisted him, listen, there are two things I want to say. Alright? Listen to this very carefully, very, very carefully. The more you have successfully resisted Satan, the easier it is to resist him. Do you understand? However, the more likely you'll be careless. Because you have victory for so long, you now start taking things for granted. Now listen, Satan will now start on you with little temptations. Now listen, he won't come with big temptations. I don't know where I get my point. That's the one we will consider big. Is little things he will now come with. What is summary of what I'm saying? It means the longer you have been a successful believer, the more careful you should be on small things. Yeah, so that won't come with big things. No. Good Christian you are, good family man, everything. No. He's not going to carry one wild woman on the street to come and tempt you. You can see Satan painted on her face. His temptation in your life will be subtle, small things. Somebody will annoy you after 1 week, you have not forgiven. With good justification. Can you see? It's small. It's not adultery, it's not lying, you are not bearing false witness. I remember somebody told me once to come and bear false witness on what was a small thing, an academic issue. He said, if you come, just say you are our visiting professor, no, you are our professor on sabbatical, something like that. He said, let me not mention the amount of money that he said I will be paid. I said, laughing. You know, I was laughing. I said, this is not even a temptation. You know, there's money. He's like, I tell you now, slap this man. I'll give you 50 naira. You look like, excuse me. First, I'm not a fighter. Why would I slap somebody? You offend me for 50 naira. What if I say, slap this man? I'll give you 500 million. Ah! You will be thinking, if I slapped him, I could give him 50 million to say sorry. I will not make a profit. You see, you may not do it, but at least you calculated. You now check and say, is it worth it? Will I go to jail? Okay, if I spend 5 years in imprisonment for, what do you call, assault and battery, occasionally harm, before I come back, you know, why? 500 million. It's called temptation. What if I get to just 150? You look at me and like, you will decide that I am crazy. You won't even go home and say, hey, my wife, see you. I was tempted today. Will you say that? You wouldn't say it. So that day, the man, I looked at him. All I could do was laugh. But because of his age, I just said, all right, sir. Thank you, sir. I hung the phone. You'll call me again, and I won't answer you again. Where I'm going is that you get to a point in life. Now, what I say, I didn't consider it temptation. I know some of my colleagues will do it too. Because to them, it's nothing. I just go there, go and there, you show up for NUC accreditation. And then they pay you money, and you walk away. People do it too. I'm just the one that decided that it was not the temptation. I'm the one. If I take this money, I will suffer for it. But that's because of my own fear of God. I don't know whether you're getting the logic of what I'm saying. So, but then, Satan will live in that area. He will now come to little things like offenses. They come and tell, did you hear what this man said about you? Eh? I will never help that guy again. With all the help I've helped him in this life. Unforgiveness enters your life. It's not a big thing. But that is Satan's hold. That's why I said what I said. Let me say it again. The longer you have been a successful believer, the more careful you need to be on small things. That's just a small aside. Now, what was I saying? What were we talking about? Satan cannot extend. No. It's a false prophecy for somebody to tell you as a Christian. They extend your destiny behind your back. No. You are the one that can sell your best right. We've been studying here. Genesis chapter 49. What did Jacob say? He said, Reuben, you are my firstborn. Preeminent in dignity. Preeminent in power. He said, but you shall not have preeminence. And he told us why. He talked about Simeon and Levi. There were things they did that caused them to be scattered. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Please, let me just say it again. No, but the job of a prophet is to tell you how you are disturbing yourself, which is by disobeying God. That's the only way. But God has put, listen, as a matter, please go and read my book again. I'm saying Grace to Prosper. God has put prosperity in your life. He has already. It is there. If it's not showing, it's simply because there are certain things you are not doing that you're supposed to be doing, or there are certain things you are doing you are not supposed to be doing. Go and read the book, Happiest People on Earth, Damon Shakarian. That is the story of Damon Shakarian. I tell you once in a while. Damon Shakarian will tell you. Now, please, I'm making a bit of it up now. It's not him. But whether it's his father or his grandfather, that's the one I'm trying to remember. Now, they left Armenia. God gave them an instruction through one guy they call Boy Prophet. The guy disappeared for a long time. He saw a vision. He was not literate. He copied what he was seeing. It turned out to be instructions on how to leave Armenia and move to the United States. And they were told that when you arrive in the United States, you arrive on this border, move to the other side of the country. And they obeyed the instruction. Let's make a long story short. The guy was not prospering. This man was struggling hard to take care of his own. So he went to church and told the elders, "This is the problem I'm having. Well, we came here by instruction, so let us see." So they prayed for him and prayed for him, and they opened the book. When they opened the book, he fell in one place. "Blessed shall you be in the field." They said, all right, that what the Lord is saying is that your blessing is on the field. And I can't remember the work he was doing before, maybe construction and stuff like that. They said, "No, your blessing is where? On the field." So he left that. God opened his eyes and he saw he could be dealing in fresh vegetables, deliver them to homes. Go to the rural areas, get fresh vegetables. And they began to prosper. Just what Pasani was teaching us yesterday. They began to prosper. Along the line, he found out that one major problem was fresh milk. Let's make a long story short. After a while, he began to produce his milk. Milk production made him a millionaire. That's the summary of it. Now, what he was doing before didn't work. Now, if you read Peter Daniels, Peter Daniels started business 3 or 4 times and they failed. Finally, he landed in real estate business and there he succeeded. Sometimes God allows difficulty to steer us. Are you getting my point? Steer you away from the place where you don't belong to the place where you are supposed to be. Like Mike Murdock would say, when you leave the center of your strength, you move towards your weaknesses. And I personally believe one of the things, that's one thing God does. He gives you Pastor Annie said, we should write. What is it that, did he say it again? Not that last, you know, it's the last assignment he gave us. But somewhere along the line, he said, you should write 3 things that, three skills, that you have. I won't tell you what I wrote, but I just realized that, okay, I can tell you. I wrote it 2 or 3 times. I wrote it twice. I was looking for the 3rd one. I couldn't find it. Yeah. Please, you can see me later and tell me one thing you think I can do, Elder John. I know you'll be able to help me. I've written to... Well, you don't blame me. I discovered that long ago. So I have honed the skill for a very long time. I teach in different places. All right? But everything I do is teach. Ima, can you believe there was a time I tried to buy and sell? Ima, can you believe it?
It's difficult.
It's difficult. You know how I stopped? Onitsha touts. They were the ones that taught me divine lesson. Touts in Onitsha, trying to rob me. I'm sure you heard that for the first time. It happened. Oh, it's not recent, though. The story I'm telling you is like 1992. That's a long time ago. That's 30-something years ago, right? How many years? 34. Yeah, later on this year, it'll be 34 years. So 33 and a half years, thereabouts. I decided I could do small business. Please stop pursuing money anyhow. I got up. I traveled with my friend to Onitsha. Entered Onitsha market. Bought things. That was the first time I tried it. The last time I tried it. I realized that buying and selling, it's not the will of God for me. I can't do it. I can't. My wife has skill in that area. I told you once, somebody told another person, they imported computers. All right? Children computers. Not real computers, no. Children computers. They were computers, but they were designed for kids. Long ago, the person had this packed up and couldn't sell it. They were now talking. So one day they just said, go and meet Mrs. Banky now. She will help you sell it. She came, saw my wife. They talked. In the next few weeks, everything was gone. I don't think it was up to a month. Every single one. And they were not cheap. One of them that time, all right, they were used. They were not brand new. But they were European, American, something like that. Very, very high quality. I still remember the story I'm telling you is nothing less than, if it's recent, it's 15 years ago. One was 25,000. They were not cheap. 25,000 naira of 15 years ago. The person just came, said, they say I should talk to you. It wasn't somebody she knew before. It's the person that told them to go and see her that knew her. When they finished discussing, the next few weeks, every single piece was gone. That person didn't sell one. Didn't have the grace. Didn't have it. When my wife still used to trade those days, she went into her store. You know what they call laying on of hands? Eh? If my wife enter your shop, lay hands for you, sale will all finish you the next day. I'm telling you, she will enter, she just say, this goods have been here for a while. She doesn't call me, you know, you should know where grace day, where no day. She will do it by herself. Enter, lay her hands on everything. I don't even know. Just do her work. Finish, prophesy, and sit down. Then the phone start buzzing. One day, she told me, she said, I should see money. I said, what happened? She said, this is January. They said, January is dry. He said, not for me. She told me that, they said, January is dry. He said, no. Me, I can't seem to experience it. But I went on nature one time. I heard the voice of the Lord. If I see you here again, once, after that, I said, I know they do. In fact, when I'm sending something to you, I feel like I'm stealing from you. Maybe I bought it for 15 naira. I said, she'll come and pay 60. I'll be seeing that 10,000 on top. Are you sure you're not stealing from this person? Of course, I know it's not stealing. In fact, one brother asked me once. I finished preaching. I gave him sound counsel. I said, see, one of the reasons why you make profit is that you bear risk. You make things easier for people. They pay you for the service of delivering things. They will have had to go and buy all the way in Onitsha. They buy it in Enugu. So where they will have paid, how much is transport now to Onitsha and back? Let's say 12,000 naira. All right? Uh-huh. You have made them pay only 1,005 on transport. Then the risk you bear. But then you finish all of that. The person, she should be kind enough to reward you for your efforts. That's why you make profit on business. Do you get where I'm going? Get back to what I'm saying. One of the things that God uses difficulty to do in our lives, okay, is to steer us to where we should be. You getting my point? See, sometimes when we talk about persistence, you have to use persistence with wisdom. Before you persist, go and pray. Because you can persist in something that will never work. It's possible for you to hear persistent, perspire to acquire. You persist and persist. You show this man persisted, this one persisted, this one persistent. Those things were going to work. I read a story of a man long ago. I never forgot his name, Bernard Trevisan. This story I read it is at least 28 years ago. He persisted in something that never worked. His father left a huge inheritance for him. Those days, people were researching into how to turn ordinary metal, lead, iron, to gold. So he went all over the world where the formula existed. He died after 40-something years of trying, or 30-something years. And he said, I have discovered, to have gold, you start with gold. He wasted his whole inheritance trying to turn metal to gold. He persisted in something that never worked. He persisted in something that never worked and was never going to work. And hundreds of years later, nobody's even thinking about that anymore. Trying to change one element when you are not radioactive. You get what I'm trying to say? So please, before you use persistence, be careful. Sometimes the sign, there's one man I met, at least counting in naira. If you count in dollars, he's a multi-millionaire, all right? In naira, he's a billionaire. Billionaire many times over. He said, when people say they don't make money in business, he said he doesn't understand how it happens. That he doesn't understand. He said all his life, it's only once he has lost money in business. 1 year. That He doesn't get it. That business always works for him. Always. Except there are things people say that this is not working. He said, I get inside there. It works. That's what they call grace. That's what they call grace. In fact, when he told me that he had left, I feel like, God, don't leave this business then. Don't retire from it. Don't retire. Rearrange it, refine other areas. Because I remember Paul Odutola that time. He was 90-something years old. He was still, they were interviewing the newspaper and he was discussing their next level of investment. And he was 91 or 92. Odutola. He was a big industrialist. He used to manufacture tires, do all kinds of things. He was 90-something. How old is Warren Buffett now? Anyway, he's in the 90s. He's just retiring this year. This year they say he'll retire. One of the greatest, if not the greatest investor of all time. So when the man told me he was retiring from, I felt like, no, guy, you're 60-something. I think it's a bit too early to think of retiring from that. Because the grace was so demonstrable. Now, can I say another thing? Stop pursuing the things that make billions. Are you getting my point? Teaching doesn't make billions for me. I'm not going to change it for anything. It doesn't make billions for me. It doesn't make me millions. But you know what? I'm not hungry. I can pay my children's school fees. I live in a decent house. My car is decent. My clothes is decent. Teaching the word of God and teaching other things makes me look very nice. In fact, if I want to look nicer than this, I'll place a call. I'll look nicer than this by tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow is a bit too close. What's today? Saturday. By Tuesday. The bro I'm talking about is listening to this. No, he's the one I'm talking about. I may not have billions, but God, I look good. And I can look gooder. Hey, don't say anything. Because she wants to tell me there's nothing like gooder now. If I say there's gooder. I'm the one preaching. Is she the one preaching? Where I'm going is that please stop pursuing everything. It's not everything that you can do. It's not everything. Be careful before you use persistence to stay in something that will never work. Not because, now please, let me explain it. You are a child of God. He designed your life. Sometimes when something is not working, he's him deliberately frustrating you away from it. It's not, you come and say, it can work. I know it can work. He just said in your own case, it will not. People trade every day. I told you my wife has a skill. The grace. But I don't have it. I don't have it. It's not, I don't have it. It's not because it's bad, but because God just said in your hands, it won't work. Read the book again. I recommend The Happiest People on Earth, Demosha Karen. I told a story about it earlier. Demosha Karen was a businessman, farmer. He did a number of businesses. There was one he put his hand in one day, and he was going to get wiped out entirely. Being a Christian, and that's the advantage of being a believer. Being a believer, he ran to his house to go and pray. Oh, you got up one night to go and pray. God, help me. Please, as a believer, learn to pray. Don't use... Learn to pray. What did I say? Carry everything to God in prayer. See, if it's not working, go and pray. Lord, it's not working. Lord, the last two times I bought this thing, I lost this amount of money on it. Lord, help me. Should I stop it? Are there adjustments I need to make? Kenneth Hagin said he was entering into debt every month. Having obeyed God. Let me explain what I say. He was a pastor of a church, all right? And in that church, he was enjoying himself. He's called to preach. God supernaturally called him. Many of us are called different ways. My own calling came as a result of the manifestation of the grace. I know when the grace came upon me to do what I do now, all right? And the pressure was put inside my soul. That's how my own came, all right? It became like fire in my bones. Didn't want to do any other thing. Can I again hear the voice of the Lord? I have called you to do this, to do that, to do that. Do you follow my point? So he was called to ministry, no doubt about it. Now he was pastor. He started pastoring as a young boy. 18, he was already a pastor. He pastored for years. Then one day, now the last church he pastored, he said it was the best he ever pastored. When I say best now, church was growing. The number of attendance in what they call Sunday school, the way they count it, was increasing. Their record of money was increasing. Everybody was happy. God was doing things in their midst. But he was getting restless. That pressure in the soul I was telling you about, that's how it came to him. He now went and prayed and said, God, I don't understand what's going on. I'm not comfortable here. Nothing physical. But it's just not working right. Then after 2 days of praying and fasting, 2 or 3 days, I think the second day, then he felt the Lord tell him, I never called you to be a pastor to begin with. That is sitting down here as the pastor of this church is not your job. So he got up, resigned it in obedience to the push of the Spirit and left. What do you think should have happened? Now he said that church was the best. It was the best experience he ever had when it comes to comfortable living. The personage was good. The church took good care of him. He went for ministers' conference, I think once or twice a year. The church paid. They supported him well. They gave him a decent salary. Church members supported him. I mean, it's the kind of church he should be in. But the Lord now said he should leave. So when he left, hunger set in. He said his children didn't have decent clothes. His wife didn't have decent clothes to wear. Every month to get by, he had to borrow money. He had an insurance, you know, what we call life assurance policy, that he was borrowing on. He said every month, for that time, it was a huge amount of money. He was going into the red by $100. So if he needed $1,200 every month, he was averaging $1,100 in income. With the fact that his family was not well taken care of, they were not eating well, they were not dressing well, yet he was always short of money. That was, I told him one of those days, he wanted to return to pastoring. He almost died. In the midst of all his hunger, not to the Lord, he went to pray. I said, go and learn how to pray. He prayed and said, dear Lord, it's not working. This is not working. So, while he was praying, the Lord let him know one thing. Let me summarize it. Because I said, God corrects us. All right? He quoted the scripture for the Lord. If you are willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. God told him that you are very obedient, quite all right, but you are not willing, so you don't qualify. He realized that he had been obeying God grudging. Did you get my point? That is for him. He was obedient, but the willingness was not there. He was like, I'm only here because God said I should come. His heart was still in those settled settled churches where he was pastoring. He said it took him less than 10 seconds to get willing. Let's make a long story short. After that, miraculous things began to happen in his life. He used to make his calculation of how much money he needed, prayed about it, and he would get, like now if he say, okay, I need $1,500 this month. At the end of the month, he would do calculation. You know how much he would get? $1,550, $1,530, $1,580, $1,600. In fact, he said it was so much that one day, he went somewhere. He had believed God for a certain amount of money. So he went to minister in a particular church. So when he finished, and he always tells the pastor, don't beg anybody for money. You know the way he said, we have a man of God here. Please, sir, if he has been a blessing to you. He said no. Because those guys, they will talk to get money for the visiting pastor. He said, he told them, don't do anything. Just take an announcement. Say, this offering is for our visiting minister. Don't say anything more than that. and they will pass the offering plate, and he always got more than he needed, at least this exact amount. So this particular church, he went there. Now, I can't remember the exact figures, but let's just take one just to make it easy to explain. Let's just say $500, all right? They counted all the money. You know how much it was? Let's say 480. So the pastor, we didn't count it well. Let's count again. They counted. It was 480. He said, no, the man. They told the man, no. From like 485. He said, the money is correct. We are not counting it well. They divided into two. You count half, I count half. That guy counted half, he counted half. They joined it together. It was 485. He said, no, something is wrong. He said, you don't understand. This money must be correct. I don't know whether I get the point. Now, there's a principle he teaches about, where he was teaching about it. To me, it was a special manifestation of the power of God. To me, this is a special manifestation of the power of God. But it was consistent in his life. He counted the money. He told the pastor, we'll count this money all night until it is complete. So as he was about to count, then suddenly he remembered. Before service, somebody had approached him and dashed him $20. So he added it to it. It was 505. Said the pastor, we can go now. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I just use that 505 just to illustrate, okay? I can't remember the exact figure. But we'll let you know that's how much God's power came into his life when he made the necessary adjustments. There are those who know why God is not blessing them. Now, this coming from me, like, Apostle, what are you saying? I will tell you. When I say, you first be shocked that, are you the one saying this? But hear me well. One reason why they are always broke, they are not giving. Say, but I say we don't need to sow so we can reap. Did I say you should sow? What did I say? You know why? Giving is a manifestation of faith. You don't have faith, you think you do. Faith is very funny. Faith is something that you think you have when you don't have it. The only way you know whether you have faith or you don't is what? Actions. God did that to me once. You know how he taught me? Everything you see me preach, of course I've learned more over time, but I've believed them for a long time. I was getting married. I needed money. I was spending money. So I made one, of course, God will help me, right? I prayed for God to help me. And God was waiting to help. Except that this was how I hindered his help. Every dime I got, it went towards my wedding preparations. They pay salary, it went towards it. If you dash me money, it went towards it. If I found money on the tree, it went towards it. If I found money under my shoe, it went towards it. I didn't realize money had become my helper. My help cometh from money, not from the Lord. So one day, this wife I married now, who I was trying to marry at that time, I was not sharing the word of God with her. You know, the Spirit of God has possessed me for a long time in many manners I don't even understand. I was preaching to her, but the Spirit came upon me to preach to me. So I read from 1 Timothy chapter 6. It said, instruct those who are rich in this world not to be conceited or to place their hope in the uncertainty of riches, but to trust in God. He said, instruct them to be generous, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready. He said, instruct them to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. As I finished preaching it, I realized what God, it was me God was preaching to. I wasn't sharing the word of God with the wife I was about to marry. God was preaching to me. That banker, I wanted to help you, but you are not allowing me. That's why till today, I have a rule. It's only once I've broken it. And I went to look for, the young man came to ask me that I needed money. That time, my dad just passed on. So I said that, me say if I need money, you know that kind of thing. Then I had to go and ask somebody else who knew him to apologize. That, please, has he solved that his problem? Let me come and help now. Because I realized I just gave something I was doing as an excuse. It's a law of God in my life. I can't. I'm buying a new car. It's not allowed to touch. Let me explain what I'm going to say. I can't use it as a reason. My children say, want to eat this. I say, do you realize? No, I can't. I want to build the house from the beginning to the top. I cannot, if I'm going to a church, this amount of money I give, A dime cannot come off it because I'm building a house. It can't. Otherwise, I am not blessed. I shouldn't do it. That car, don't buy it. Don't buy it. You cannot buy that car with money you took out of your generosity. It's the law of God. That's how it came across to me. See, that day, I remember very well. So, what happened? When I finished preaching that thing, I told my wife now, the wedding prep was going on. We're spending money and all of that. I said, I just realized that God is preaching to me. I used to go to a church. I just said, when did I give this to my pastor or anything? I used to give him gifts once in a while. You know, I just go to church, you know, give him an envelope. I couldn't remember. Because you want to marry. So next Sunday, I went back to my old habit. I put the money in an envelope. I gave him, good morning, sir. You're a blessing today. I gave it to him. He didn't know it was not today that was the issue. Do you follow my point? A friend of mine was getting married a week before me. I went to him. I said, oh boy, now you've been spending money. I see that you've been spending money. I put money in an envelope I gave him. I'm sure he thought I won jackpot. Because I was telling somebody he's spending money. Meanwhile, we're waiting just a week apart. So I gave him some more money. The money I had then, I shared everything out. Made sure it finished. I said, Father God, please help me. Please, I wasn't sowing a seed. You know, there's no seed here. I was repenting. That's how Bishop Idaho said, I heard the story. One man came to him and said, he has been saving money for a few years to buy a car. Those days, this was in the 80s, if I remember well. Archbishop said, where is the money? The man said, it's at home. He said, go and bring it. The man brought the money. Told the man, drop in the offering basket. You can go. Did you get that? I can't remember whether I prayed for the man at all. Just the man, put the money in the offering basket. Go. 2 months later, thereabout, the man bought the car. How did it happen? I don't have the details. But you know what he did? He took his faith away from what he could gather. And this time around, let's see, that's my understanding of generosity. I can't tell you, hey, I'm trying to do this, you know, and then little things that we're supposed to do. Maybe I go to a church. Pastor says that, we need to get a new keyboard, though. And things are very expensive. Now I say, I need to buy a new car. For that reason, I don't give towards the keyboard. It's unbelief. Please, get my point. I'm not saying sow a seed. That is where, it's not if I give towards this now. Go, no. I didn't tell if you go, hey, pastor, me too have been saving money for a cow. Let me go and put an offering basket. You may not get anything. It's not a trick. I'm not teaching you how to trick God into meeting your needs. I am saying your faith must be in God constantly. And if your faith is in God constantly, it will manifest in generosity. And you must never sacrifice generosity to acquire material things. No, you don't. Since I learned this thing, I'm talking about this was when I was getting married. I gave you it's only once I've given that thing as an excuse. Things I'm supposed to do. And usually little things. And I tell the children, say, no, we can't eat egg in this house. Why? You know we are trying to build a house. Your children's clothes are torn. Like one woman did something one day, I couldn't believe it. Human beings can be very foolish. She stopped a friend of mine, said she wanted to see him. Me, I moved away, it's a private conversation. After a few minutes, my friend came and said, I should come and deliver him. I said, what is it? Said, do you know that what that woman told me? I said, what? That he said whether he could help her with some money to buy her drugs. Now, let me not mention her ailment, but it's a kind of ailment like diabetes. That is this kind of ailment that it doesn't go away, but you keep it under control. All right? It's not diabetes, just as an example. It's not diabetes. He said, this is my diabetes medicine. I've not been able to buy it. He said, because you know this my building project is taking all my money. God bless you for laughing. The other people don't seem to understand. Otherwise, you'll have laughed. Did you hear what I said? The woman said, this is my building. She's constructing maybe a small house, spending money. They're taking all my money. Whether this guy can help her buy her medicine. Excuse me. Maybe she didn't think about it. Did you hear what I said? He said, you know, I want to buy this. It's taking all my money, so I can't buy my medicine to stay alive and well. I'm building. Such a person, there's no need us telling you that she's not helping anybody. Offering in church, unless she's sowing a seed. Unless you see she's sowing, that woman is not giving in church again. I don't need to tell you she's not giving, she's not helping the poor. Because if she cannot buy her own medicine, unless she wants to sow, you know what kind of, that's the kind of seed I'm saying that does not work. It doesn't germinate. If she, that kind of person goes to sow a seed, it's dead seed. Because she's trying to manipulate God. That's not what I'm preaching. You can't buy your own medicine. And that you are bold enough to turn to somebody else to please come and help you buy it. When I told my wife, when I got home, my wife said, of course, and truth, that's the kind of person she is. She says she's one, she will tell the woman, number one, I'm not giving you money. And please, don't ever say that to anybody. If you can't build the house, what do you do? Suspend the construction. Your life is more important. Anyway, that's the African thing. Because she knows she can go and harass somebody like my guy. That's why that kind of fought. Like one day, this really happened. One man of God was telling me about it in their place. Somebody was dedicating his house. Listen to this. I need to say this thing so that we will not be foolish like some other people. So he invited church members and friends to their house. And one of the people they invited was the proprietress of the children's school, secondary school. Ah, how God helped them build this house. Ah, they should thank this, now mention the couple, the man and his wife. Their own, God will bless them. Because they didn't understand though. They complained about it. No, they didn't complain to us, but somebody else there was reporting to me. That when they were walking, they couldn't pay their children's school fees. Did you hear that? Look at the way Akindu turned his head like, did I hear that right? Yes. They were testifying that when they were building this house, they couldn't pay school fees. So all of us present should thank the owner of the school for understanding. That is stupid understanding. Don't demand that kind of nonsense understanding from anybody. You're a very selfish human being. My friend, one of my senior friends, he said his landlord, the man had the house was living in, or a block of flats. He said, when you go and meet the landlord, maybe your rent is due on the second, on the 1st of February. You now go towards the end of January to beg the man that, please, you can't pay him on time. Why? Because you have problems. Please, because of the problems you have, the man will tell you, you don't realize that your rent is a problem. Did you get it? He said, the man will tell you, that you know you've come here now because you don't believe that your rent is a problem. That time when my wife used to sell things. In fact, to be honest with you, I didn't like that business at all. I told her to please stop. People will owe her money. They not say, you see, they can't pay because at least food is more important than clothes. She said, you know, my wife used to tell them, you don't understand. What you call clothes is my own food. Do you get what I'm saying? They're like, there's no money now. Yeah, she should understand that. No, you bought clothes from me. It is time for you to pay me. You are telling me that your own food is more important than your clothes. That is true. You are right. But you came and bought it from me. I didn't force you. Then you are taking my food. But what did my wife say? They say, that's wisdom. He said, no, you don't understand. Food is more important than clothes. But this money is my own food. Your food is not more important than my food. We are both fooding people. Is there anything wrong with that English? She's always monitoring spirit. I told you, Ijoma, 10 times. I manufacture words as is appropriate for finishing my message. Judah? You see, he says hallelujah.
So we are both fooding people. We both need to. All of us must eat. Now, see, where I'm going is, do you know? I'm talking about faith now. Faith. I learned long ago, there's nothing I want to do. Okay? And please, you see, like, stop taking things by faith. Like, I receive. You see, people go and receive big car by faith. They are paying for big car by faith. They have not given by faith. See, people say, I can't borrow to give. I said, it's not right to borrow to give. He said, I used to preach it too. Until one day my sense woke up. Say, Bank, what are you saying? Should we borrow to give? No, I don't think so. But whatever you did for other things, you do it for giving. That's my own. The car was driving before the one I drove now. I paid for it for one whole year. The people who financed it said to me that, sorry, okay, my car was bad that time. I needed another one. Critically, one brother now walked to me and said, he said, what's happened to your car? I told him that, man, I need to buy it. He said, we can help you buy a car. His company's people. He said, no, they can help me. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah, but it's a cooperative, so they charge you interest on their loan. He said, there's only one problem. This is Nigeria. Most of our cars are what? Used. He said, we only buy brand new cars. Ha. I must drive brand new car by force. I didn't have money. In fact, that time when I bought the car, people thought, this man has money. No, I bought the car because they allowed me to pay bit by bit. I didn't have money for the bulk, which was what somebody offered me for a fairly used car, which was good. So I said, no, okay, no problem. Let me go with your guys. Where I'm going with the whole story is that he said, okay, pay this percentage up front. I was able to gather the money, give it to them. The rest of it, I paid over a whole year. A whole year. Now, did I borrow to buy the car? Please answer now. She got it. I did. It would be crazy of me when it comes to giving projects, important things for the kingdom, I say that I can't borrow. That's nonsense. I remember a friend of mine went to their church. Small church, they were just starting that, they were trying to build and all of that. I went to preach there. What are you guys doing? I said, what they need now is this. I told him simple. I said, bro, I would like to help you guys buy these doors, but I don't have the money. Yeah, I borrowed money at a time from a bank. I said, go back. I said, no, you don't want to borrow again. I said, see, I'm making a personal guarantee. You know me. You know I will pay. That money, if you guys borrow it, half of it plus interest on half, I will pay. I said, but now, I just don't have the money. I can't remember the exact sum now for the things they needed for all their doors. I said, see, those doors, my brother, collect it on credit. If you have somebody who supply your credit, go ahead. I said, I'm guaranteeing you half of it, I will pay you in 4 installments. I didn't have the money there. So I forgot the details now. But at the end of the day, I still paid that money. I still paid the money. Whether I decided to take it on credit or wait for the money to be complete, I can't remember the details. Take it on credit. I'm promising you half of this money is my debt. I'm the one borrowing it. If I remember well, I paid it 4 installments. But if I didn't give him then, I gathered it 4 installments because I checked how much money I was earning was coming to me. That's what I could afford. But I said, I said, plus the interest too. If you borrow the money from a bank, plus the interest on half is my debt. I will pay it. So I don't believe that I can't borrow. I don't have a problem. You don't want to borrow to give. Then no problem. But if I see you borrow to buy a motor, may you enter gutter. You're not going to jail, but the lights go break. Nonsense. That's the problem we have. Selfish. We only think of ourselves. We'll break our back, do everything. Sometimes when I see what people do, I just say, you are not begging God for blessing. I'm sorry to say this. I know people won't like it, but I'm sorry. See, training your children is important. Amen? But you can't take kingdom money, money you're supposed to use to support and promote the word of God, the kingdom of God. God gives you opportunity. There are many schools that you can pay. Do you understand? This child will get this education. Say, no, they must go to this particular school. Then who suffers it? The kingdom. You go to a church, they don't see your dime again because all your money is used to pay for schools you can hardly afford.
and not believing God to help you train those children. I will say it the way it is. Don't like grumbling behind the back. One day I went to preach to one of my friends. I said, you know the problem? He was telling me, I said, it's because of you. So what? I said, this thing you're telling me, like, do you preach on the pulpit? And it will be like, I said, it will be like what? Is it a lie? So when I mounted his pulpit, I said, your pastor won't say this, I will say it. Because if he said you think he's begging people for money, I said, let me tell you the truth. What you are doing is wrong. I told him later, I said, you know the funny thing? I could make his shakara for him. Even me, I was doing the same thing. I said, no. Because I said, what happened? Some of us, we are careful, and Paul did something like that too. Careful, was careful. So I don't be as if you are joining those who are peddling the word of God. We are turning into a business. So you want to be careful. But let's tell ourselves the truth. I keep on telling people. You can't stress yourself for... Look, you want to build a house. I know enough. Ask all these our brethren that do those businesses. A house could be any... The same house, looking from outside, the price difference can be up to 50%. A house somewhere does for 100 million. Somebody will do the same for 50. What's the difference? The quality of certain finishing inside. You enter, you see POP ceiling here, this one there, you know, like this guy does. You touch a button, all the doors will open. You touch another one, the doors will close. You can remotely put on your light and off, put on the light and off, put off the light. It's money. Are those things good? I don't have a problem with them. But I keep on saying they are luxury. And you are not allowed as a kingdom child to spend more on luxury than you spend on good works and sponsoring the kingdom of God. It's not allowed. You can't be wearing shoes. Like I was discussing with my brother the other day. A pair of slippers. $1,000. I said, is it not too much? Is it not a sin? He said, oh God, it's not a sin for those who can pay. I said, that is true. However, if it's a sin, if your offering at a time has never been $1,000, you're not a Christian. You spend $1,000 on shoes, and you have never dropped that $1,000 in an offering basket, you are not born again. What nonsense is that? It's not a shoe. There's a shoe for $100,000, $50,000. Then you are buying one for $1,500. Like you see, the pastor Annie was telling yesterday, one guy who, at the end of the day, said the only offering he ever gave, how much was it? $50,000. Meanwhile, he was building houses, buying cars. That's how you define wickedness. He said, now I understand why he was broke in the first place. Was poor in the, for this kind of attitude. That's what I mean. Because faith reflects in how you spend your money. I see people do it sometimes. No, God help me with that. I cannot see. Anything I want to do must not touch my generosity. I remember when I was young, much younger, before I got married that time, I was with my colleagues at work, and the guy said that I should try and buy a car that is not good. I'm a young man like this. I don't have a car and all of that. And I was planning to get them, of course. I think he knew. I don't know whether I knew this my wife that time, or this was longer. This was before I met my wife. I can't remember for sure. But he was advising me. I now told him, I said, see the money I have. You and I work in the same office. Tell me how this money will transport, it will translate. You're among those who are helping with English. God bless you. How this money will translate to a car? Now, I used to live with a relative who sold cars. Stayed with her for a brief period before this time. So that meant I knew about cars. So I said, a decent one, I remember one of my relatives that time told me that, somebody wants to sell a B2. I said, how much? That time, that's long ago. It was 25,000 naira. He said 25K. And I knew that 25K, the car must be dead. You know what he said to me? He said, by the time you spend on that 25, you go good though. Did you hear what I said? By the time I spend another 25, how can it be good? How can it be good? It can't be good. Cars are not like that. It can't be good. Because then a decent car, freshly used car, if you don't spend money, you manage to get a very good bargain, you pay like 170. Somebody's offering something for 25. I look, who told me? I said, you're not serious. I told you, my mind, you're not serious. Who will drive the car? Or who will the car drive? Because it's one of the two. Either the car is driving you, or you are driving the car. A colleague of mine bought something like that. He drove the car for 2 days. The car drove him for 3 days. I was there. I was watching him. Yeah, he would drive a car for 2 days. The car would drive him for 3 days. I still remember very well. I was in the office one day. I was working. His mechanic came. You know, by the time you have mechanic number, I'll speed that. And his mechanic came. He said, please, I'm looking for Dr. O-O-O. I said, it's not around. He has closed. I said, what is it? He said, I came to return his car. I said, well, you can leave it there. It's safe. I leave the key here. When he comes to work tomorrow, he'll meet it outside. It's in the hospital premises. He said, no, let him take you back to the office. I know, I can do my work. 5 minutes later, the guy came and met me. Said, you just park the car here, Abby. I said, why don't you want to take the car again? He said, try to engage it here. This is a car. He's just returning. He tried to take it back, and the car didn't move. So even me, young doctor, not be mechanic, I came out, I need one or two things now. So I came to help the young mechanic. Have you put in the clutch? I press this thing now. I was asking. He said, oh God, it's not like that. Let's make it also the shaft has fallen apart. So I said, okay, leave it there. So he locked it. The after some time, he came back again. He said, what is he saying? He has brought guys to come and push it all the way back to his workshop. When my guy came the next day, he was fuming. I was looking at him. In my mind, see, you are busy people like us that we don't have sense for trekking, for taking bus. He said, hey, Dad, he's going to sell this car. He said, thank you, you buy. The guy actually asked me what I wanted to buy. The guy actually asked me what I wanted to buy. I looked at him like, are you crazy? I can see why you want to sell it. Like they say in Western Nigeria, did you put something in your mouth to say that? I said, what? Anyway, back to what I was saying. So, that day, I told my guy, I said, this thing you are saying, how will I raise the money out of this? He gave me a address. He now said, I don't even know how he knew. Maybe he suspected. He said, all this money you are giving out, you will have to stop it. I said, what? Oh, all the money I'm giving out, I will stop it because I want to drive motor. You know what they call Tofiakwa? God forbid, bad thing. I said, so I can die in poverty. I wasn't trying to sow a seed. I was like, you don't understand. Generosity is part of my faith. It's part of my faith. I said, it means I'm not bragging. By the time I started buying cars, one day I counted. I'd given like 3 out. I just look at a friend. Then, this man doesn't have a car. That's my wife. Can we raise money now? We can raise money now. We raise money. Buy. Send it to him. Hey, this person doesn't have motor. Hey, we raise money. Remember, one of my friends said, well, his dad died. The son of the cars in the family. I remember then. He asked me. I said, can I buy this for my relative? He said, yes. He said, because of me, he fixed up the car very well. We agreed on the price. So by the time it was time to pay him, when I saw the work he had done on the car, I said, oh boy, let's renegotiate. The money I'm paying you is not fair. No, brethren, that's what I did. This was long ago. Can't remember the exact sum now. But just to use figures now. It was a locally used car, a Peugeot. I said, it was his dad's car. The man had passed and had a number of cars. So he was selling them off. Let me buy this. I want to give to you. So a relative. He said, okay, I'll pay you small money. I said, all right, fine. But I get on his son. Because he saw what I wanted to do with the car, he worked on it, fixed everything, made sure everything was top notch. When it was time for me to pick the car, I saw the car. What? He did all of this. He said, he saw what I wanted to do with it. I said, no, let's renegotiate. The money I'm paying you is not fair. We jacked up the payment. I can't remember the exact figure now, but by nothing less than 30%. If it was supposed to be 100 naira as an example, I said, okay, after that, I said, I pay you 130. Oh, he said, okay, no. In fact, he said, no, to be honest, he said, that's the fair price. That he spent about 30 on it. Because I saw the work he did. I dashed somebody.
When the time came, I look one day, I say, my car is nice, though. My dad's car is very old. I bought him another one. One day I sat down, I watched in a few years, I dashed 3 out to people. Yet I didn't have one for a long time. The first car I had was a wedding present for my parents-in-law. Because they knew their daughter would suffer, like, the way they marry this guy. Just joking. But when God now said, Banky, it's your time. Brethren, that my wife, I bought her one. I turned around. Susan said, this person, no. You need to have one. I bought. And I didn't have land, though. I wasn't building a house. One day, one guy came and said, now you should be building a house. I said, what is the hurry? Where am I running to? What is the hurry? Where am I running to? They were saying, get off general. I said, no. Leave it. I can enter bus. There were no kekes that time. We were the one that invented keke in Nigeria. Those of us in Lagos. Those of you who remember, keke Marwa. Jonah, leave all these boys. They don't know what I say. We, you remember? We invented keke. General Buba Marwa was military administrator for Lagos. He was the one that brought those tricycles to Nigeria. So we used to call him keke Marwa. He's now all over the country. I could enter keke, could enter bus, and God bless the wife I married. She did. In fact, those days, I remember those, just before we got married, one day I was in my friend's place. So, she was going back, I forgot what, she was going to do something, it was NYC period that time. So, she told her mom to please drop her off in my friend's place, that I'm there, so that way. So, my mother said, is it taking you where she was going? That, whether I'm the one taking her there? Look at her mother. Say, who, him? Does he have a car? Now, she was the one that came to gist me after it. He said, I told my mother, you, do you have a car? And we laughed about it. When she came, I got ready, went, bus park, entered, traveled, finished what she was doing. We traveled back together because it was just the next state. Okay, it wasn't too far away. 1.5 hours, you're there. Then, came back, told her mother, does he have a car? She didn't care. Neither did her parents. They didn't care. Some people think, but one of my guys that he said that, I said, Banky, this one you say, you have to, when you go to your in-laws place, you have to drive. I said, my in-laws place, drive to do what? To impress them. You know, some people, I don't understand. Me, I have not, one of the things God blessed me with in this life is confidence. I wasn't hiding from anybody. You want to impress people that have 50 times, what, are you crazy? See, for my wedding, my father-in-law bought a new car to carry his daughter. So is that the person you want to impress with? You want to impress that your boy? I look at my guy and say, I should try. Try? Did he try? Did he try? Is he trying this matter? I don't know whether you are getting my point. Is he trying this matter? He said, try. Try. I was arrested then. My salary was structured. Do you get my point? It was calculated for me. There was no negotiating it. I couldn't go to my CMD and say, sir, I think you should give me a raise. To get a raise, we had to strike nationwide. He said, I should try. Try how? And I've told you my story. There was when I used to hustle small for money. God said, go and sit down. You need to go to church. I dropped my income from 15,000 naira a month to 6,000 because I wanted to go to church. Try, go. But brethren, when the time came, I didn't see do any trying. There was no trying. Things just fell in place. Do you get my point? Things just fell in place. It was just the season. Stop living life in which you are showing God. You are not trusting Him. You are trusting in money. That's what I mean by that. I spent all this time just to explain one thing. Now, where did you start? Where did you stop? Anyway. God corrects us, teaches us what is right to do, what you should be doing, and what we should not be doing. Many of us, the problem we have is not a curse. It's that we need to be corrected and need to be directed aright. Now, I said I was going to say something at the beginning before I went. Did you read that scripture I said we should read? Look at our time. Business by the Spirit will commence the next part of the seminar in a few minutes. Let me just round this one off now.
I was talking about the spirits, seven spirits. Remember I said that? Paul says something here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, from verse 5. I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity. Rather, what God gave us is a spirit of power and love and, King James, it says sound mind. I'm reading from New American Standard. It says discipline, sound judgment. Let me use another word, self-control. God has given us the right spirit. Without the spirit, the faith inside our lives will not manifest. The blessing that he has given will not flow. Because of time, I'll just rush over the rest. I have to finish the next few minutes so we can take a short break and commence the second part of the seminar. I'll just rush through seven spirits needed by a blessed person. We summarize that the spirits of prosperity. Now come at the seven spirits of God. The spirits of prosperity. You hear the Bible talking about the spirit of counsel and might, the fear of God and all of that. But I just want to talk about the spirits of prosperity. You need these seven spirits. Manifestation of divine spirit in your life. If prosperity is going to come. I'll rush through them, maybe say a few things. You need the spirit of righteousness, the spirit of wisdom, which is different from the next one, the spirit of discernment, the spirit of excellence, the spirit of faithfulness and love. I need to put that together. Spirit of faithfulness and love. The spirit of self-control or discipline. That's what we read in 2 Timothy now. The spirit of discipline. That's number 6, right? And last of all, the spirit of power. The spirit of power. I've selected 7. He said, God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. 3 of those things reflect in what I've listed. I have a spirit of power here, the spirit of faithfulness and love, and the spirit of discipline. Yes, they reflect. But the other ones are the spirit of excellence, the spirit of discernment, the spirit of wisdom, and the spirit of righteousness. Please just note those 7 things. Because of time, I can't go into them in details. Don't let me say I'll come back to it, but let me just say a few things. When it says the spirit, I'll take them at random, all right? Let me start with the spirit of power. Let's start with power. If you go and read Romans chapter 12, in verse 11, you see what I mean by the spirit of power there. In the book of Romans chapter 12, from verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, notice what he said here. Not lagging behind in diligence. If you have New Living Translation, it says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Please don't forget it. Never be lazy. Please. Many of us were trained to be lazy as children. Especially if you grew up in a well-to-do home, somebody made your bed, somebody swept the house, somebody did that. There was something my wife did. I mean, my children are small. They always had help in the house and all of that. But there was something she said when they were still very small. She said, I can't be training other people's children and nobody who will now train my own. So while my children were still small, she had a roaster for washing plates. mopping the house, sweeping. In fact, there was a time we made a rule in the house on Saturdays. No food until all household chores are done. Then, Kingdom used to meet in the evening by 5 p.m. So, if you like, don't finish till 2 o'clock. You will not eat. So, cleaning, making bed, mopping, washing kitchen and everything. Everybody going to be doing it. My wife's rule was simple. My children must be trained to work hard. That's the summary of it. They must be trained. So, if my children come to your house to the glory of God, you won't find them sleep when everybody else is working. It's not possible. They're most likely outside washing your car. Because their mother said it to me earlier. I said, no. We had help, so help. If I remember one day I was in the house, the lady that was our housekeeper at that time, she finished making, I think it was lunch, it was a weekend or something, or a holiday. The children were playing games, you understand? Then she brought the food, was putting it on the dining table, then to go and call them out of where they are playing games to come and eat. I looked at her like this. The way I shouted at her, she didn't believe it. I said, before I open my eyes, will you return the food to the kitchen? You cook the food, they are too small to cook. I understand that. Then you serve the food. That's not a problem. I appreciate it. Then you will not carry it out for them. I said, Abba, that's taking it too far. Everybody, out from where you are playing games, go to the kitchen, carry your food. When you finish, take the plates back and go and wash. Because I can pay somebody to do it, doesn't mean I should, because it's training. Doing household chores is not child abuse. I don't care how rich you think you are. Your children must work because they have to have the culture of work. I told you the story of the guy that came to serve with my wife some years ago. By the time she finished, of course, God blessed her, the kind of woman she met that they posted her to. My wife drilled him very well. He came complaining that this work is too much. That rejects my wife. I'm not rejecting you. You will walk the walk. You will do the walk. By the time he finished, months later, one day my wife's phone rang. He was the one. He just called to greet and to say, Mother, I want to just say thank you. He didn't know how much he had changed until his own brother was watching him. He said, come, what happened to you? You that I knew, you're a very lazy human being. But now before the brother would leave the house, the brother had a business. This guy would have left, gone ahead, opened the place, cleaned the place, gotten things ready for business for the day. But that looks like, what happened? He said he thought and said, it must be the woman I worked for. This was how she made us work. Even the brother commented that, yes, you have become a better person. I don't have time to spend on that. Christians can't be lazy. A little sleep, a little slumber. The Bible says that's how your poverty will come like an armed man. It will come like an armed man. It is vain to rise up early, but it is right to rise up at the proper time. And to return late is important to come back at the right time. But to be sleeping, he said, there's a lion in the street. That's what the lazy man says. I will be eating. You know the way this country is now? Like Pastor Annie said yesterday, in the time of recession, people are becoming millionaires. In the time of difficulty, no matter how much you sown a seed, no matter how much you are blessed, if you are not a hard-working person, even as a pastor, sometimes people say they are in full-time ministry. You know, I always say to pastors, please listen to me. If you are in full-time ministry, please be ministering. I don't know whether I get my point. Don't be in full-time sleeping. And full-time walking around, visiting those who don't want to see you. You go to a man's shop and go and sit down there that he came to counsel him while he's doing his business. Do you follow my point? Many pastors are in full-time idleness. You're in full-time ministry. Be praying, preparing studies. See, preach at least, if it's bad, 4 times a week. I average preaching right now 4 times a week. So you can't be... Now, please, I don't have time. I learned long ago that God said, Banky, listen. He didn't give me words, but I'm forming it together from the things I learned and the spirit inside my heart. He said, Banky, see, I don't want to see that you are lazy or I do. You become a busybody.
A lot of people are doing visitation because they don't have any other thing to do. Bishop Oyedepo said, why are you looking for those who are not looking for you? So one day he was in his house, one pastor came to see him in the morning. He said, good morning, sir. I came to see how you are doing, sir. He said, you are what I am doing. He didn't like the guy, you know. He said, you are what I am doing. How am I doing? Come on, my friend, go back to work. You come and visit me in the morning. Chris, you see, sometimes people are saying that in this country, I say, this morning you are shouting this country. I pray that God will give you a visa. They say, America is, go to America. Go to Europe. If it's not how your brethren work. I don't know whether I get my point. It's when they're in Nigeria, they come to this country. The main problem is what they are willing to do. I'm the one telling you. Some of the work, if you see work that your brethren do when they go abroad, you will know why they are prospering there. If you relocate back home, and do that same work, that same energy and zeal. Bro, you go prosper. You that's blessed. You that is blessed. This, I need to close now. That's the spirit of power. That's what it means. He said, not slothful in business, King James says. I like the way the New Living Translation says it. Don't be lazy. Where is it again? Verse, what, 11? Yes. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. That's what I mean. I'm just taking it at random. The spirit of faithfulness. He said, he that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. They say he that is faithful in that which belongs to another person is the one God will give his own. The spirit of faithfulness, the emphasis here is that even if it's not your own, you are working somewhere, be faithful. There are three kinds of workers, I said before. There are owners, there are good shepherds, and there are what? Hirelings. The difference between a good shepherd and an owner is that the good shepherd is not the owner. But he treats the work just as seriously as if he was the owner, as if she owned the business. The way Jacob treated Laban's flock. Any Christian that wants to prosper should have the spirit of faithfulness. It will be tested. It will be tested. Please, because of time, I got to rush. The spirit of faithfulness is very critical. You must be a dependable person. You must be dependable. You can't be sleeping when something is spoiling. You can't be sleeping when something is spoiling your place of work. Then there's what is called the spirit of excellence. Pastor Annie told us yesterday, giving us the Japanese principle of Kaizen, they call it, something like that. I didn't get the word right. What Japanese would call it is continuous improvement. Little improvement, that is, competition or no competition, we must make this car better next time. That's how your life should be, whatever you are doing. I thank God I've seen a lot of improvements in the way we do clothes making in Nigeria. But I used to say those days, these ones that we import, were they made by spirit or by human means? But now I thank God. Our people picked up. And then when they do things, they're not rival. They outshine many things that are important. I say, what is it? Me, almost everything I wear now is locally made by people I know. Almost everything. And of course, this is what they call bespoke tailoring. They call bespoke. You stand there, they measure you fit, you make sure it fits. There's nobody I want to give this that will fit like it fits me. Emma, I know I'm looking nice. I know. And I know you agree. I need your mind agrees. Because our people kept on putting excellence into what they do. That's the point I'm making. Let's all keep putting excellence into what we do. Let's all keep putting excellence into what we do. And it's in the Bible like that. It says, when the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, add to your faith goodness. If you read some other Bibles, the word is excellence. My Bible now added the word, they put the ellipses, moral excellence. But literal Greek is goodness, excellence. When it says the excellences of him, all right? Excellence. Please, I have to rush. I've mentioned power, right? I've mentioned faithfulness. I've just mentioned excellence now, continuous improvement. Then the spirit of discipline, this is important. The spirit of discipline. It's not every phone. Pastor Annie told us that yesterday. Every new gadget you must pay for.
You bought a phone until you want to give out to, not you are looking for an excuse to buy another one. You legitimately want to give out to somebody. Brethren, use your phone for a few years. It's not every new thing you want to change. Every new one you see, you want it. That is not a spirit of prosperity. You must have discipline, self-control. You must have self-control. Well, I separated that from faithfulness because faithfulness has to do with that which belongs to somebody else. The spirit of discipline has to do with that which belongs to you as an individual. Which one do we have remaining? We'll talk about discipline, faithfulness, excellence, righteousness and discernment. Wisdom, righteousness and discernment. Yes, okay, let's just quickly rush through that. Wisdom, no, let's start with righteousness. Righteousness just simply means something. It means to deal honestly and to always deal justly. That's what I mean. We're talking earlier, for example, you are selling goods. What is right is right. If you are measuring rice for somebody, 50 kg must be 50 kg. Don't make it 49.5. If you do that, you've stolen half a kg. If you must make a mistake, make on the side of caution. Let it be 50.1. That's what's called righteousness. An unjust weight is an abomination to God. That's what we're talking about. The spirit of righteousness. Always doing things the right way. The spirit of wisdom, that's a gift of God. The best place to look at that is the life of Joseph. He saw a problem. God gave him the wisdom to handle it. So bear it in mind, as a believer, the spirit of wisdom must be your portion. The spirit of wisdom that is always looking for how to solve problems everywhere. And last of all, the spirit of discernment. This one is crucial. When Gehazi went and collected something from, Naaman. Elisha said, is this a time? Everything has a time. Elisha was a prophet. He used to live by gifts. Those kind of things that Naaman brought to him was what he lived by. He didn't have farms. He didn't have investments. He went around teaching people, instructing them, and prophesying. A woman saw him, this is a holy man of God that comes by this place all the time. He's used to such hospitality. That's what he lives on. So for Naaman to have given him gifts was not out of order. But then, is this the time? As a preacher, Paul said it, as an apostle, he was supposed to be supported by those he ministered to, but he said, it's not the time. Why? They were Gentiles. They thought everybody was peddling the word of God. So Paul, rather go there, join them in the marketplace, and start making and repairing tents. Then in the evening, he'll go and teach. And they didn't even take offerings. He'll just teach. According to him, he robbed other people to take care of them in Thessalonica. Because they were supporting him, he was preaching to them. Why? There was a time. Jacob had the right to go back home, but it was not the time. As harshly treated as he was, it was not the time to return. Until God revealed to him that the time has now come. Spirit of discernment, you need to know the time for things. Times and seasons. You want to resign a job and go and start your business. God has to reveal to you the time. Otherwise, you may go back with regret. Please, because of time, I'll stop here. These are the seven spirits I wanted to explain to us. And then we took a lot of time to explain other things. I hope we're blessed this morning. Please, now what we are going to do...